Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is HempPresent. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for HempPresent, email me at HempPresent@gmail.com. William Teske considers himself a vaporizer evangelist, a cannabis activist who once lost a job because he spoke out to the Washington State Legislature. William has been a legally designated cannabis grower for various medical patients in the greater Seattle area. William's experience in vaporization started in 1994, very early in the advent of cannabis vaporizers. He has developed unique vaporization techniques and research systems and strategies for several years. He's joined me today to tell us about some of the fascinating conclusions he has reached. Welcome, William, to Cannabis Radio.
Hello.
Let's begin by having me ask you, just kind of tell us what are flower vaporizers?
These are devices which extract a lot of vapor from the cannabis flower without combusting. So they're extracting the cannabinoids, the terpenes. The terpenes are what gives it the flavors and the aromas and some other compounds that are considered part of the entourage effect, which is the stuff that's around the cannabinoids that gives cannabis some unique characteristics.
And so the alternative would be vaporizers that you put an oil canister in, right?
No, the vaporizers that I'm talking about only use flower. Flower is the only.
But I'm saying that those are the other form of vaporizer that a lot of people might be getting in the store have oil.
Yes, it's using some sort of heat element to vaporize a cartridge which contains an extract of some sort.
Right. And as we know, there's been health issues with vitamin E and other apparent additives, right? And that's not an issue with flower vapors. Why should people consider switching to flower vaporizers?
Well, there's a few different reasons, but there's health reasons for doing it. And there are financial reasons for doing it. It's a lot more efficient. And therefore you're going to spend a lot less. And there are issues about the odor and, you know, vaporized cannabis almost has no odor. So it works in a lot more different situations than combusting cannabis. But the biggest reason that most people should consider switching are the health reasons. And the health reasons are were first analyzed. There were studies done in the early 2000s, and most of these have to do with lung impairment. And it was shown that that people who vaporized, their lung impairment decreased markedly. And so that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the notion that vaporizers were a lot healthier for you. That's those studies, those two or three studies that were done with a volcano vaporizer, which is a very expensive, pretty interesting vaporizer that was created in the year 2000. But it became the standard for vaporization, and many of the studies were conducted using that vaporizer, and the lung improvement or the less lung irritation was the major finding. They also said that combusting produced a lot of pyrolytic chemicals, and pyrolytic chemicals are chemicals that are created from combustion, and many of those have been shown to be carcinogenic, but there aren't really any studies on whether those chemicals have produced any actual cancers, but they are known to produce cancers.
And I might point out that the thing about concentrates is that if it's not clean, if there is, you know, traces of mold or mildew or pesticides or herbicides, and then you concentrate it, you're getting a higher percentage of that stuff, when in flour you wouldn't be. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds correct to me.
Can you give us a quick history of vaporizers?
They are said to be invented by a person named Eagle Bill in Amsterdam in 1994. He used a heat gun where he heated up the flour, and the vapor went into a globe, and then he had a glass straw which extracted the vapor. It was a really cumbersome, large, but very impressive piece of machinery, and it is the first real vaporizer that was used. This was in Canada, in Vancouver. They developed the BC vaporizer, which had the globe that the original one had, but it had a little tray, a little platform in it, and you put the cannabis on the platform. You added the platform heated up. There was vapor. The vapor filled the globe, and then you had a little straw or a little tube that you got the vapor out of. It worked pretty well. And when I saw that, when I was in Vancouver and saw that, I came back to the United States, searched for vaporizers, and found a real good vaporizer, which was developed by this guy who was trying to help his colleagues with smoking tobacco. He wanted a healthier way to deal with tobacco. So he developed a vaporizer that you attach to a soldering iron, and it worked very well. And I used it for quite a few years. In about 2007, there was a vaporizer called the Iolite, which was a butane vaporizer. And so you put butane in it and you fired it up. It was pretty harsh, pretty nasty, but it worked. It was fine. And it was really the first portable vaporizer that actually did the job. In about 2011, you had a Canadian company called Ariser develop something called the Solo, which was really a really fine. In fact, I still use my Solo of 2011. It was a conduct. We haven't discussed the types of vaporizers yet, but this was a conduction vaporizer, which meant that it used radiant heat to extract the vapor. The other way of extracting vapor is a convection vaporizer, which just uses hot air. And the original Volcano is a pure convection vaporizer. Only it doesn't, the receptacle for the cannabis does not provide enough heat to actually create vapor. And what you're doing is blowing hot air through the cannabis. And in the Volcano's version. It went into a bag mostly. So you had a huge bag of vapor and you could pass it around to people. It still is an extremely good party vape. So that was about 2010 that was developed. The Solo came about, and that was a very easy to use vaporizer. Then things didn't really change much until about 2017, where there was a vaporizer called the Dynavap. And the Dynavap was a very inexpensive, a $50 vaporizer that looked like a cigarette. It was metal. You used a torch to heat it up. It clicked when it was ready, and it worked extremely well. It's a great vaporizer, and even people who are very picky find this works tremendously well. It's a very efficient, uses a very small amount, produces great vapor, great taste, and that was a really impressive development of vaporizers. After that, after 2017, about 2 years ago, ball vapes came about. And ball vapes are vaporizers that have a housing which contains rubies, and a coil that goes around the housings. The coil heats up. The rubies absorb a lot of heat. They're very good at holding heat. And then you draw the air through the rubies and into the cannabis. And these vaporizers are extremely precise.
Okay.
And are the choice of people who really want the best quality vapor that you can get.
All right, we have to go to break. We're going to come back with William Teske.
Time to roll out for the people that let us Hemp Present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back on Hemp Present with William Teske. William, what have you discovered about cannabis in your vaporization research?
I've been working on this for about 3 years, and I was never a big user of cannabis. Meaning, I never used very much, mostly because I didn't want to cough, and I didn't like a huge amount of vapor. And I joined this Discord group of vaporizer enthusiasts, vaporizer manufacturers, vaporizer reviewers, and they were experimenting with all sorts of things. So they inspired me. I said, well, let's try using less, and let's try lowering the temperature. Let's try doing different things that I'd never tried before, because I was inspired by these people. And over time, I kind of realized that if you use lower temperatures and if you use less, you have less lung irritation. And it seemed that you didn't lose a lot of the potency, that it still was amazingly potent, even with the small amounts that I started to use. But over time, I started decreasing the amounts, and now I'm down into amounts that people cannot believe. I'm down to four one-thousandths of a gram of cannabis. And by vaporizing it in a certain, using a ball vape, which is very precise, I can reproduce it and show that you can get a tremendous effect out of amounts that are below a 50th of a gram. I also have tried to do a research to figure out why this is the case, why you can use so little and yet have such a big effect. And I've spent a lot of time trying to figure that out.
I have tried your approach, and it's stunning how it's totally counterintuitive.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
That microdosing cannabis, like ultra microdosing cannabis, can actually get you very, very high. And I think it's one of those things where you'd have to try it to believe it. Besides lung health, are there any other health benefits to your vaporizing techniques?
I think most of the benefits are come from not overusing cannabis. It seems that, I mean, most people develop tolerance to cannabis. In other words, they have to consume more and more to get the same effect. And over time, that tolerance becomes extremely high and extremely expensive. But what's really happening is that the body is defending itself. The body tries to get into homeostasis, tries to get things in balance. And the influx of so many cannabinoids, the body perceives that as a threat to the homeostasis. So what it does is it shuts down the receptors. These receptors are called CB1 receptors. That's the most important ones for cannabis, for THC. And these receptors become inactive or they go away, or something happens to them that stops you from getting high with the current amount of cannabis, and you have to make it greater. Some people develop allergic responses to this overuse. Some people develop a disease which is called CHS, cannabis hyperemesis syndrome, which is a vomiting and end up not being able to use cannabis at all. So there's an indication that the overuse of cannabinoids is not good for the health at all.
And taking this approach where you are dosing almost under the radar, such small amounts that you are sensitizing your cannabinoid receptors, they are responding, but you're keeping the dose potentially low enough to not get the negative immune response from the intolerance, right? From the allergies.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not getting the shutdown response of the receptors, so that you're able to the amount that you're using doesn't keep rising over time.
And I imagine another health benefit is that with smoking, you're getting soot and hot air, which are both can be very problematic health wise, especially long term, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you're not getting any of that. You're not even getting smoke.
No, not at all. In fact, in the original studies that were done in the 2000s, that's what they were concerned with. They saw the particulate matter of cannabis combustion as very negative to the lungs, and they worried about the other chemicals that were being released, benzene being one of them. Yeah. However, what is odd about this is that these poisons that are released also affect the stone itself, the experience of the cannabis. And some people have a hard time with vaporization because they're not being poisoned, essentially. And the poisoning, like with alcohol, the poisoning has some effects that people want.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe couch lock type. Oppressive high or something. Is vaporization for everyone? Is your technique for everyone?
Yeah, it's probably for everyone, but not everyone loves it. There's a few factors here. I mean, there is one medical factor here, is that cannabis is an expectorant, and combusting cannabis can actually clear out the lungs. It causes you to cough up phlegm and stuff. And if you want cannabis for that purpose, then vaporization isn't what you want. But that's pretty rare. The other The other part of it, which is the most difficult part to sort of get around, is that the combusting of cannabis is part of the social ritual, and that social ritual is very strong, and it's difficult to give up that part of it or to make that part less. In the vaporization community and the people who use vaporizers, they like blowing huge amounts of vapor, like it's so that they're essentially crushing the load, whatever they put in the vaporizer, in one or two shots. They are,
you see people walking down the street and this giant cloud comes out of their mouth, right?
Well, except they wouldn't be using that. That would be a cartridge vaporizer, right?
And I just want to add, the thing about cartridge vaporizers is that they are, there's a lot of disposable vaporizers, which is environmentally just not sustainable, in my opinion. And I'd just like to point that out as well. We've got less than a minute for the next break. But it seems pretty clear that vaporization is probably the way of the future. I imagine that the industry would hate the idea of microdosing, because it's going to require less and less weed to satisfy somebody's daily ritual or relaxation. But we are looking at a climate change catastrophe, and it might turn out to be the only sustainable way to continue cannabis. But we got to go to break. So I'm sorry that I don't give you time to respond to that. We're going to take another quick break and come back with our final segment on this fascinating subject.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back on Hemp Present with William Teske for the final segment. William, can you say more about high tolerance? How does that occur and why is it an issue?
High tolerance occurs because of the way the CB1 receptors work. The CB1 receptors are triggered when a THC molecule gets in contact with the receptor, which sits on the edge of a cell, on the outside of the cell, and that's what and that causes chemical reactions in the cell, which in fact slows down nerve transmission. That's basically what the CB1 receptor has to do with. It has to do with the speed of it. Has to do with nerve signal transmission and the CB1 receptor. When it's hit with THC, it causes a chemical reaction. You do that over and over again, and the CB1 receptor becomes either inactive. The cell either pulls the CB1 receptor into itself, so it's not exposed to the surface, or the cell just stops working altogether. There's not a huge amount of research on exactly how this works. So what high tolerance is means that you've essentially hit that cell so many times that it's decided that it doesn't that for the body's sake, to maintain the homeostasis, to maintain the nervous system, it's not too influenced by these chemistry, it shuts down the receptor in some way. And so high tolerance is that occurring. And once you stop using cannabis or use much less of it, it seems like the CB1 receptors come back to a certain extent.
Okay. We're kind of running out of time. I want to make sure I get this last few questions in. Are you looking for more subjects for your research?
I am. I have some criteria for those that are important. In order to choose exact subjects, they'd have to fit some set of criteria that I've developed in order for me to continue my research. But I'm also willing to answer questions about vaporizers from anyone. I have an email. Address 004cannabis@gmail.com. It represents 004 is 4/1000ths of a gram, which is what my standard dose is, 4/1000ths of a gram of cannabis. So it's 004cannabis hemp.com.
And that's about the amount of cannabis as a fly's head, right? Roughly.
It's two flakes.
It's unbelievably small amount of cannabis that can get you really high with your technique, which is mind-blowing. Can you recommend any vaporizers or resources at this time? We have just a couple minutes.
Yes, I certainly can. But it's interesting. It's a little difficult to recommend vaporizers without knowing the particular circumstances that the person is in. But on the expensive end, the Mighty, which is a Storrs & Bickel. The Storrs & Bickel produced the Volcano. They've also produced a portable called the Mighty. It's an excellent vaporizer, very expensive, works incredibly well. They've come up with a new portable called the Venti, which works even better. It's even more expensive. It's like $500. But however, and in the lower price, but there's a lot of lower price vaporizers that are pretty good too. There's the Lobo, there's the X-Vape V3 Pro. These are portable vaporizers. The desktop vaporizers, the Ball Vapes, there's the B0, this is cannabis hardware. There's the Freight Train, this is the Old Head. ZX, that's by Phase 3.
Okay.
The resources for this, my favorite resources are 420 Vape Zone. You can look that up on the web, and it's a place where there's a lot of reviews of vaporizers, excellent reviews. There's also a big website called Fuck Combustion, which has incredibly long threads, and they discuss all these vaporizers ad nauseum. So that's quite a resource.
Did you say 0004cannabis@gmail.com?
That one will do too. I actually have 004, 004, and 04cannabis.
Oh, I'm sorry. 004cannabis@gmail.com.
Yes.
Awesome. Fascinating stuff. William Teske, thank you so much for being on the show. And I look forward to hearing more about your experiments.
Thank you.
That concludes this installment of Hemp Present on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you've got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find your voice and speak up for justice, because resistance is fertile. The Hemp Present intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand, and the outro music is Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. See you next time in this crazy world. Stay strong. Marijuana!
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.